5.22. ये ही संस्पर्श जा भोगा दुख योनय एवते आद्यंतवंत कौन्तेय नतेषु रमते बुधः. हियर कृष्णा स्पीकिंग वर्स दैट इज वेरी ऑफन कोटेड एज डिस्क्राइबिंग द नेचर ऑफ मटीरियल प्लेजर. And in the context of the Bhagavad Gita, this section is talking about the soul who is liberated and or is in the well situated in the path to liberation and how such a person behaves. So, what does this verse say? Yehi samsparsha ja bhoga samsparsha. Sparsha is touch. Samsparsha is a proper touch. Bhoga. So when there's a pleasure that comes from that, the pleasure that comes from the contact of the senses with the sense objects. So the tongue comes in contact with delicious food, the hands come in touch with soft objects, and like that. There is a contact of the senses and sense objects, and the pleasure that comes from that. Samsparshaja bhoga dukkhayonaya evate dukkhayonaya. From that comes dukkha. Krishna says, yonaya, they are the womb of misery. From them, misery will be born. Evate, certainly. And adhyantavantaha kaunteya, adhyantavantaha. They have a beginning and they have an end. O kaunteya, Arjuna. And therefore, na teshu ramate buddhaha. The wise buddhaha do not delight in them. Na teshu ramate. The wise don't delight in these pleasures because they know that they are the wombs of misery. They have beginning and end. So in one sense, Krishna in this verse is expanding what he told in 5.21. 5.21 is describing how one can experience unlimited happiness. Sukhamakshayam ashnute. And the first step in that is bhayasparsheshvasaktatma. The first step is don't be captivated by outer pleasures. Become indifferent to outer pleasures. Now we may wonder, hey, there are such wonderful pleasures outside. How can I become indifferent to them? So Krishna tells over here the process for becoming indifferent to such pleasures. And he says the process is to do this. That recognize the nature of such pleasures. So ye hi samsparshaja bhoga, those pleasures which come by the contact of the senses and sense objects, they are dukkha yonaya evate, dukkha yonaya. They're the wombs of misery. Now, when a child is there in the womb, when a woman is expecting, in the early stages, there is no it is not seen. Later on, the baby bump or whatever the word used to describe it, that becomes visible. But initially, nothing may be visible. Now, even if nothing is visible, still the infant is there, the child is there, and the child is growing. And the child will eventually appear, will be born. So like that, initially, when we engage in sense pleasure, at that time, so no dukkha may be seen, but it is the womb, and from the womb, the misery will come. And whereas in a human pregnancy, sometimes some people, what is there in the womb, people can stop it from coming out by abortion, stop the embryo. But no abortion is possible in this case. Now, when there is indulgence, there will be consequence. There will be misery which will come. Dukkha yonaya evate. Certainly that will come. That is definitely the source of misery. Now, somebody may say, what is the source of misery? I don't see anything. Krishna says, immediately first thing he says, adhyantavantaha kaunteya. There is a beginning and there is an end. And actually, if we think about sensory pleasure, it is accompanied by misery before its beginning and after its end. How before its beginning? We may say, no, okay, after its end, maybe some karmic consequences there. But even if we don't go into the concept of karmic consequence, before the beginning, how is there misery? Because what happens is, there is agitation, there is craving, and the craving torments. It pinches us. I want it. The desire pierces us from within. Just like sometimes when the horses are made to, or when somebody wants to, when the rider, the jockey, or the charioteer wants to make the horses run fast, then there are spurs. One is sometimes there are whiplashes which are used to whip the horse so that the horse runs fast. Other time there are spurs. You know, there are some objects which have some sharp points to them. Of course, these are used more often with elephants. There are elephant goads which are sharp objects. But basically, spurs, the word spur on, means to make to move faster. That means actually it comes from the usage of something called spur. It is an object with sharp pointed things which makes the person run, which makes the animal run. So like that, the desires often spur us on, force us. They goad us, come on, enjoy. So before the indulgence, quite often there is anxiety, there is agitation, there is the pain, the torment of the unfulfilled desire is there. So before there is misery, and then there is ex-pleasure, and then antavantaha. And usually when we stop sense gratification, it is not because the desire is satisfied, but because the capacity is exhausted. And actually, the indulgence usually ends up increasing the desire, and that's why we end up dissatisfied. So let me explain this. Initially, there is some desire to enjoy. Say, a person wants to eat some delicious. I want a gulab jamun. The desire is making the person restless, and say, the person orders gulab jamuns. Now, if we are going to go for a feast, maybe there will be one gulab jamun, two gulab jamun, if there are 1,000 people. Then in a feast, there will be one or two gulab jamun for everyone. But suppose we go for a special program where everybody can eat as many gulab jamuns as they want. So in the first case, when it's exhausted, and then I want a second helping. No, sorry. There's no second helping. There's only one gulab jamun. And we feel disappointed. Then what happens? The desire is not fulfilled. But even if suppose a person can eat as much as the person wants, then it's available unlimited. Still, after some time, a person made 5, 6, 7, 10 gulab jamuns, 15. How much can a person eat? And then it's enough. I can't eat anymore. Then what happens? Quite often, when we stop, because we want that pleasure, and the pleasure goes away. And then again there is disappointment. Dukkha yonaya evate. With respect to sex, when people engage in sex and after that they stop, it's not because the desire is satisfied, but because the body's capacity is exhausted. Often whatever indulgence they do, that actually causes the desire to grow more. But then the capacity is exhausted, and that's why immediately after the enjoyment also there can be misery at many times, because there is frustration. Now there can be misery because of multiple reasons. First of all is, we desire to enjoy, but the enjoyment turns out to be an anticlimax. That means that we desired a gulab jamun, and there is a gulab jamun, but when we eat it, we find out that it's so poorly cooked. The sugar is not there, it is burnt, it is a little burnt here, and it doesn't taste at all good. So the anticlimax causes frustration. And even if suppose we assume the gulab jamun is cooked very nicely and we eat it and enjoy it, but then when it gets ended, the supply gets exhausted, then we feel disappointed. Or when our body's capacity to enjoy gets exhausted and then we can't enjoy anymore, then also we feel disappointed. And beyond that, usually speaking, when we enjoy at the bodily level, then that has consequences. You know, sometimes if we eat as much as the mind wants us to eat, and soon after that, the body falls sick, because the mind's desire to enjoy is is often far greater than the body's capacity to enjoy. And that's why there are so many people who suffer from obesity. And similarly, there are so many, practically all forms of sense gratification are associated with miseries, with the diseases and disorders that occur when one engages in those forms of sense gratification in unrestrictedly, disproportionately. So sexually transmitted diseases have many cases, may have several causes, but one of them is people want to try out with multiple partners, and then they don't know where they will get infected by some disease or something like that. So there is dukkha yona evate, and ultimately there is, of course, when people do wrong activities, immoral, sinful activities, there is karmic consequences also. But essentially what we call as bhoga, you know, it is quite often just a temporary removal of a self-inflicted misery. It's just a temporary removal of a self-inflicted misery. Why? Because when we start entertaining worldly desire, material desire, then from the moment the material desire enters into our consciousness, we become agitated. I want it, when will I get it, come on, go get it. There is like the spur, there is something punching us, go get it, and that is miserable. And then when we get the enjoyment, then that thing which is goading us on, that stops. And that relief from a self-inflicted misery, we call as pleasure. But then, when that pleasure also gets exhausted, then again, we are left with nothing. So, adhyantavantah kaunteya, it has a beginning and an end. And knowing that we are eternal, the wise person think, the Buddha, the wise person, what they think? Nateshuramate. I'll not delight in this. I will seek the eternal. I will not settle for the temporary. I will not settle for the temporary that ends in misery. I will seek the eternal. So knowing this, by knowing the nature of material pleasure as a source of misery, as being temporary, the wise person can follow bias parisheshva asaktatva. The wise person can become indifferent to outer pleasures, knowing that I will not delight in them. Thank you.